minutes and kind of share with you what's going on in our part of the world and why that's important about what you all do, particularly those of you who are actively involved in the law enforcement business, or those of you who have to deal with the result of activities that are sometimes criminal in nature. And to those of you who wore the uniform of the country, thank you for your service. I don't think there's a greater way to serve. There are a lot of different ways to serve. I talk to kids from time to time. I tell them, I said, listen, just figure out what's right for you. It may be the Peace Corps or it may be the Marine Corps, but just find a way to give back, and that's what makes America unique, is the volunteer and the charitable work that we see in this country. So however you all have chosen to serve, thank you for that. It is the real core of who we are as a country, and all of you, whether you're on the military side of things, particularly what we're actually seeing today is the request from a lot of different places, but particularly from my perspective to the current administration, to be able to use the National Guard in a both law enforcement and a border security aspect, and particularly from the standpoint of border security. We think that is a very important message to be sending at this point in time to have the border secure. And I know a lot of the focus has been on the unaccompanied alien children. The bulk of the news coverage has been about these children have taken us this very long and arduous and dangerous trip, 1,500 to 1,800 miles from down in Central America up to the southern border with the United States, and then they've come across the border and basically given themselves up, if you will, and the message is, you know, we fear for our lives or whatever reason they're coming over and asking for asylum. And what we discovered is this is a we saw this happening in 2012, actually. There's lots of signals, if you will, that this was going to grow into a substantial problem. I wrote a letter to the president and to the Homeland Security folks back in May of 2012 and said, if you don't stop this, we're going to see it even growing into a bigger problem. So now that's a reality. And the administration had multiple signals that this was going to be a substantial problem. And now it is. But the as violent and as potentially dangerous as that trip is for those young people, and that is a humanitarian crisis. I've been there. I've seen it. As a father and as a governor, this is a incredibly troubling visual. But it is a substantially minor. About 18% of the people that are coming across the border fit into that category. The vast majority, 80+% of the individuals coming across, don't fit into that category. These are, and unfortunately, we don't know who they are, and we don't know what their intent is. But here's what I do know. Since the fall of 08, individuals who have come into this country illegally have been involved over their lifetimes in the United States, or excuse me, in Texas, 642,000 criminal acts. That's a stunning number from 08 until now. Those individuals have been apprehended. Over 3,000 homicides directly attributable to individuals who have come into this country illegally in Texas. 8,000 plus sexual assaults. That does affect you. I mean, that's why that border has to be secured from my standpoint, because this is not only is it it's a terrible signal to send to these families, come on and send your kids on up here and they can come into America and stay, because that's not correct. Policies that have been put into place have sent that message. Visuals that they've seen. You have drug cartels that are manipulating this process. They're being paid money to bring these kids up here. These children are pulling Border Patrol away from their primary responsibility of border security, keeping our citizens safe, stopping
illegal activities, including drugs from coming into this country. And those Border Patrol are being pulled away from that in substantive numbers to take care of these children. And that's another reason that we need this influx of both uniformed military and law enforcement on the border. You all know, I mean, it's the reason neighborhood watch works. When the bad guys know that there is someone watching, there's someone there that's either going to report what's going on or actually law enforcement in place, you see those crime numbers go down. And we've seen that over the course of the 6 or 7 years we've been involved in border security. And it augmenting, since 05, we spent about $500 million in Texas to augment border security in the state of Texas. As late as last month, we put an additional $1.3 million a week, sending our Department of Public Safety, Parks and Wildlife, our Texas Ranger recon teams into the border. And just in those 3 weeks, we've seen apprehensions down 36%. So we know if we can really surge into the entire border, and what I've asked the president for is 1,000 National Guard troops, for the FAA to allow for drones to be able to be used so that we can very quickly point out activities along the border. We've got the technology to do that. Our strategic fencing in the metropolitan areas, all of that together. But the most important part of it is those boots on the ground. And, you know, I think we've sent the message that if we don't get the satisfaction that the federal government's going to move and move quickly, then the state of Texas will, in fact, fill that void and address this issue. So I just want to say to you, thank you for what you do. Thank you for putting on the uniform every day, leaving the house, not knowing what you're going to face. Our citizens are appreciative of what you do. And this isn't just a Texas issue, obviously. This affects the 49 other states. And particularly the 48 in the continental United States, this is a major issue in all of our states. And securing that border with Mexico is not a Republican issue and it's not a Democrat issue. It's an American issue. And hopefully Washington, and in particular the administration, who has the ability to unilaterally move pretty quick on this if they would. But again, if they don't, then the citizens of the state of Texas expect us to keep them safe and secure, which we will do. So with that, thank you for your service. Those of you who have made a long-term commitment to serve in our country, thank you for that. To the young men and women who are serving us today, we pray them safety and hopefully to come home soon and safe. And it's a privilege for me to be back in Iowa again and to spend some time up here. I don't make any bones about it. I'm up here campaigning for Terry Branstad. He's a great governor, and he's doing a lot of things to make this state be substantively more competitive in the economic development world. I happen to think that's the single most important thing that a president or a governor or a legislature does, is to help put policies into place where that your state has the tax revenues coming in to be able to pay for your services, be able to make sure you got teachers that are in the school systems, to be able to have transportation infrastructure so that when they're moving those products, you can move them expeditiously and safely. That's the most important thing that a leader does, whether you're the President of the United States or whether you're the governor of Iowa. If you don't have a strong economy, you can't have the resources to have a strong military. You can't have the resources to have foreign policy that's going to be influential and impactful. And so Terry and in the case of Joni Ernst, I don't make any apologies for those two people that I think get it about helping create a more dynamic economy in this country and in this state. So anyway, thank you for what you do, and God bless you. Bon appetit.
Let's eat.
Thanks, Governor. And that reminded me, you know, the news just broke Friday night. I just caught this morning, actually. And I'm sure, Governor Perry, you're well aware that some of our Border Patrol agents came under fire on Friday night with a 50 caliber machine gun. And when the shooting stopped, on the U.S. side, 40 or 50 illegal immigrants stepped forward and put up their hand and said, okay, that's enough of that coming out. And what they've discovered is, and this has been verified by the United States Border Patrol, that they were using that 50 cal as a support by fire position to keep the Border Patrol agents' heads down long enough for the illegals to sneak across the border. Goodness sakes. A 50 caliber machine gun on our border, shooting at our Border Patrol agents. And I don't mean to get too political, but this is a serious issue. And so I just want to say thank you again for each of you that put on the uniform every day and put your life on the line for the rest of us, because you never know when a weapon of that nature is going to sneak its way north on 35. Or just all bets are off at that point. So anyway, with that, what I'd like to do is just open it up for a little bit of Q&A or comments. And if there's any, that'd be great. Go ahead, Mr. Bago.
Yes, sir.
I'm with you all the way on your securing that dadgum border, but Pinocchio is not going to give you any help. But if you consider the possibility of getting hold of the Republican Governors Association and make this a unanimous thing, because with the KGB, I mean, the news media is doing you guys, is singling you out as if it's you only, and we, the public, are not in it with you.
Interestingly, I'll be going to a governor's meeting on Tuesday, I believe, and I'm sure this is going to be we had conversations about it last week on the phone, as a group of us got together on the phone. So to answer your question, you're correct in that governors see this as not just a solo effort, that, you know, Governor Martinez and frankly Governor Brown, who, you know, we play on different teams politically, sure, but sure, he understands the importance of securing the border, right, as well. So the 2/3 of that border is Texas and Mexico. So the real challenge today is on the Texas-Mexico border. So you know, certainly we would be open to conversations with any governors about assistance that they would be willing to coordinate with us when and if the guard is and the guard's already on the border. I mean, you know, people don't realize that our National Guard is as engaged on the border as they are, the aviation assets in particular. So our Parks and Wildlife, our Department of Public Safety, our Texas Rangers have been coordinating with the Border Patrol for years. The Border Patrol, unfortunately, I mean, they get their directions not from Austin, but from Washington. I tell you, just a fascinating aside, the president was coming to Texas last week, and he asked me to meet on the ramp and shake hands and welcome him. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to be used for a photo op, but if you'll give me some real time, some substantive time to sit down and talk to you about what's going on the border, I'll change my schedule and I'll meet with you. And he agreed. And so we had that opportunity. And I think he learned some things. I know he did. He admitted that he didn't know that his Border Patrol were stationed back away from the border, at checkpoints 40 to 50 miles back. They have a different philosophy than the state of Texas has. We have a prevention policy. We don't want people crossing into the United States, because we feel like that if you prevent them from coming across, then you don't have to apprehend, you don't have to stop crime. And the Border Patrol has historically had an apprehension policy. They were more in the business of we apprehended this many people, therefore that's how effective we're being. We don't want them to come across to begin with. There is a way to legally come into the United States, and you need to follow that. And so the president was, I won't say he was shocked, but he was, the president was edified about where his border patrol was, and he said that he was going to bring that up, and to what I heard him say was, we're going to push the border patrol forward to be more in a line with you and what you're doing in Texas from the standpoint of prevention. So that's very important, but we still don't have the boots on the ground that we need, and I think it's going to require 1,000 National Guard troops for probably upwards of a year until the 3,000 Border Patrol agents can be trained up that would permanently replace them. It's obviously not where we want our National Guard to be from now on. We need them to come in, fill this gap, if you will, for a period of time until the Border Patrol can come in the numbers that they need to. But I think this surge that's coming from Central America can be stopped relatively quickly. As soon as those families in Central America see that you can't just easily cross the border and can stay in America, the message will be sent back to Central America, and that flow of young people will slow. With the other 80%+ that we're seeing coming into the United States, that's going to require both the prevention and apprehension, and those that slip across immediately sent back. But you can secure that border. It just requires a commitment and a will, and hopefully we'll get that assistance from Washington. I'm afraid they will do it later rather than sooner, so we may be required to act on our own.
I was going to point out too that I deployed to Afghanistan in 2010-2011, served in the infantry, and my mission was literally to secure the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan in a small province called Paktia. Why were we sent there to do that? Well, because we understood that it was quite fundamental, at least our commanding generals did, all the way up to the commander-in-chief, that if you're trying to secure a country and stabilize it, like we were in Afghanistan, that you can't have guns and drugs and all kinds of other things flowing in from another country. And so, Governor, my point has been, if American men and women can be asked to secure the Afghanistan-Pakistan border so that we can make progress there, I don't quite understand why we can't ask them to do the same thing on our own home front. It's a fundamental principle.
Good point.
Any other comments or questions? Sheriff Powell.
Yeah, Governor, go ahead and keep eating there. I'll talk a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
Are you aware, maybe down in Texas, but the Iowa NAACP has actively been calling all sheriff's office, because we're the ones that run the jail, about letting go of the illegal aliens after the 48-hour hold that ICE puts on people after we arrest them and then they're released on our charges. You know, obviously they're after all the sheriffs in Iowa anyway to release those people, obviously, since the hold is no longer any good. Of course, then the illegal aliens, they just go back and Iowa just keep doing what they've been doing. And the second question is, up in Iowa here, we still have about 80-85% of our methamphetamine coming from Mexico through your state and California and Arizona, obviously, and Mexico.
Right, most of it's probably coming through Texas, would be about that, just because we got such a big border.
Yeah, 935 is very convenient.
Yeah.
But the president put out an executive order to all the U.S. attorneys in our state and across the United States that they are not actively going to pursue any marijuana cases anymore of the states that have either medicinal purpose of marijuana or the small use or personal use like some of the states have already done, like Colorado. And of course now with Colorado, they're one of our source states for marijuana because it's easy to get. But I'm just wondering about your feelings about that, if that's happening all over, like in the state of Texas, that kind of, we do arrest people, obviously, with marijuana possession, but we've had a few large grow ops locally that we've taken down. But a lot of our marijuana obviously is still coming from Mexico. I'm just wondering if the federal government under Obama administration is planning on legalizing marijuana throughout the United States, and this is one first step that his administration is making. I'm just curious on your thoughts on those two.
I don't know. I'm not aware of the first, and I don't know about the second. I'm not the right person. I have to deal with the laws that are on the books today. And the laws are on the books today that transporting marijuana into the state of Texas is illegal. So we're going to work on the prevention side of that. The methamphetamine side is of really great concern. And we've seen this shift from because of some laws that we put in place and states have put in place to limit the product, or not the product, but to limit the ingredients that the meth labs have used historically. We made it substantially harder to acquire those, and so meth production has shifted to Mexico. And so bringing it back in, and that's, again, the reason that National Guard can be so helpful is that their presence, along with the other law enforcement visual, and then just by word of mouth, that there is a huge influx. Because we've done this before, Sheriff, since 2009, we started surging into areas. The Department of Public Safety would coordinate with the local law enforcement and the Border Patrol. We had seven different sectors from El Paso to Brownsville. And you'd surge in for a 30 to 45 day period of time. And we saw astounding declines in crime in those areas. So we know this works. I mean, and your common sense tells you that when you have the resources and the boots on the ground and the other assets, whether they're, you know, in the case of defending a lengthy border, aviation assets in particular, the crime's going to go down. It's going to go down substantially. The crossings are going to go down. And I know this, I'm fixing to share with you something that's totally anecdotal, but it's a good reflection of a truth. When we were doing a tour of the border last week, and we had two DPS helicopters, and then there were a couple of National Guard Lakotas that were also patrolling, there was a raft starting across the Rio Grande that had 10 people in it. The DPS helicopter flew to that point, and it turned around and went back. I mean, when law enforcement or uniform presence is there, those that are intent on breaking the law, go look for another place. And so if you will secure that border with boots on the ground, and I know there are those that want to talk about, you know, let's build a wall from Brownsville to El Paso. Well, that's very hollow rhetoric from my standpoint, because most people that say that have never been there. They don't have any idea about the terrain, the private property, and frankly, the length of time and the cost that this would be, and the lack of its effectiveness. Now, strategic fencing in some of the metropolitan areas, it's helpful. I mean, it slows them down. But the point is a substantially more effective way, using drones, using other aviation assets, aerial assets, to look down 24/7 through all types of weather to be able to see the activities. And then when there is an illegal activity going on, you can divert a team, a fast response team there to apprehend or to, again, have that show of force, whatever you need. That's the way to secure the border, not with a fence that would take literally years and probably cost billions of dollars. We can secure the border in a much more effective, both in the sense of stopping illegal activities and from a cost standpoint.
Well, we probably got time for one, maybe two more questions. We got another question or comment? No?
Awesome. Bon appetit. I get to eat the rest of my sandwich.
There we go.